Okay, take it to the next level. What can I do? Work outside your comfort zone. Try new things. It's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. If you never try, you'll never know. Take voice lessons. Expand your horizons. Go work with someone. Go visit a really good teacher. Go visit the church down the road. Go visit the Catholic church where you know they've got a really good choir. Get ideas from everywhere. Study your scores and see what your singers are going to need from you and how you can prepare them better. Don't wait until you're in there, right? Because you're doing them a disservice if you're bailing water. Invite a guest person who can model great sound. Invite different conductors. Expand your choir's library by giving them more points of reference. Start out the rehearsal by having music play. And they're talking, you know, and chatting, getting ready. But guess what? They're listening, too. They're hearing it. And then take 30 seconds to say, did you hear this great men and boy choir? Here, listen. Or did you hear what, you know, this choir did? Take time to self-reflect. Evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses. Be honest with yourself. But always be positive and happy. It's hard. It's hard to always be positive and happy. But remember, you're working. You're trying to create the safe environment. You gotta stay positive and happy. I'm a culprit of it because with my choir this past year at ICC, they are amazing. They're incredible. And sometimes they just wouldn't cross that finish line. And I knew they could. And I just would bang my head up against the piano. But that's time where I have to self-reflect, right? I need to figure out, as the director, what's going on. But then we also had a powwow, and I said, here, I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. Do they respect you more because of that? Oh, yeah. Be honest with them. You make a mistake, tell them. I made a mistake. I said that to these guys, and they go, yeah, you didn't conduct that right. Nope, I didn't. Probably going to conduct a lot of things wrong in my life still, so, you know. I have, like, 2 minutes before I'm sure he shuts down. Are there questions? Anything I can explain. All the way in the back.
How do you handle when a young man's voice changes?
Yes? Did you all hear that? What do you do when a boy's voice changes? The teaching of the Indianapolis Children's Choir, and I believe it is correct, you keep them in their head voice. Keep them up there. I have boys who have a 4-octave range. I don't have a totally 4-octave range because I didn't do that. When my voice changed, I kind of, you know, went into that weird land of SAB music where it was too low and too high and nothing fit right. Pick an SA piece and have them sing melody. If you're not comfortable with that and you believe they should sing in their low voice, okay. I work them always down from the top over the break. Never work up to the break, okay? Don't work up. Don't start like this. If you don't go. Let me go. You see, I'm hitting that break. Start up here. Come down over the break and make the transition from the top to the bottom. And that's how you boys get rid of the break. Top to bottom. Top to bottom. Sirens starting at the top. Go over it. Best place for the boys to do that in the shower. Why? Because it's steamy and hot and it relaxes this and it's great. Yes. My rehearsals are 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I spend 8 to 10 minutes. Plan before you get there. Know what your warm-up is, and go. Yes?
How do you get them? You said that you're here with, or working here, not with Amy here, but sometimes they think they're singing so loud.
Record them.
Oh,
Record them. Have them literally listen to themselves. I can record a kid on my phone and play it back instantly. Use this great technology that we have. But if you talking to them and saying, you know, you're singing too loud, you're really singing soft, and I think you can bring it up more. Maybe they just need, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Is there just one really amazing book or website that you recommend that you want to
or your favorite warm-up book?
My favorite warm-up book or two? Well, there are only like two out there, really. Alfred has, you know, the 150 warm-ups, and it's by Sally Albrecht. And yeah, you know, and you got to go through, and you got to say this works and this doesn't. I make up my warm-ups. I go through and I figure out what I like, and then I take it and I steal it and I modify. And I have a little recipe box, literally, that I've written my warm-up cards in, and I keep them in there. I've not found the best warm-up book, really. Sorry to say, but vocal technique books are good. Read those, because they've got lots of information in them. You think, oh, it's just vocal technique, but they talk about how you warm up the voice and different things to do with that. Yes?
You talked about the course that you took, that you're certified.
Uh-huh. You want to know about that, Carl?
Yeah, maybe that, and any other online things for those of us who have a lot to learn.
Well, ORF is a method of teaching. And most people associate it with elementary school and the wonderful xylophone instruments. And at the other session, we'll talk about that, because it's not those instruments. That's not what ORF is about. Those instruments are a vehicle. ORF is about experiencing. And if you go online and Google ORF Schulwerk, or just type in AOSA, and that will take you to the American ORF Schulwerk Association. And they have different levels you can take and different classes. If you like this style of teaching, it's all about the process, all about how you teach and how you present. That's what it's all about. And then the other form of certification I have is the CODI method. And CODI, it's a process of this is what you teach, when you teach it, and using songs and games and various different things. So, does that help you with that? Okay. Yes?
Any tips on how to handle the more active members of your choir and keep them engaged?
Be more hyperactive than them. you know,